listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, happy Tuesday. How are you? So glad to see everyone's getting ready for the show today. I see the numbers piling in. Oh, it's a lot of you guys on so far. So glad you guys like to join in early. You get to catch all the good news, know what the show is about, and we can get down to business. Guys, I tell you, it's been a really crazy hot weekend. Hope everyone is, you know, keeping safe, keeping hydrated, eating healthy foods, you know, staying out of the battle of the heat. Hopefully with some rain, there'll be some relief soon. But guys, I tell you, we've still been getting our panelists ready for the King Hill Facts and It's Confirmed segment will probably be taking place within another week. We have one special person that's been gathering a lot of information from the past of what happened to this missing two-year-old and just putting all the pieces to the puzzle. You know, they said, he said, she said. We're going to get down to the bottom of it, and we're going to know what's really going on. So I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in and also keeping up with the updates of all of our shows. You know, guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about the judicial system, you know, and not to say that all people in the judicial system are bad, because like we all know, there's some police officers that wear the badge that don't deserve it, you know, that have mental illness that suffer from that, you know, not knowingly, but they have some type of illness for the type of psychotic behavior that goes on during their job time and in the line of duty. So, you know, it just behooves me that there was a situation with myself that took place in Philadelphia. And it's very sad to say, you know, that these things go on. And when you think about the youth and how misguided they are, you know, it's just very shameful of what the judicial system has to offer today to the public. First, I'd like to say I was a victim of a young man pointing a gun, wanting to gun me down. You know, I know, guys, very scary. I know I'm getting messages coming in when I just made that statement of like, wow. You know, given the profession that I'm in and for how long I've been in my career, for this type of situation to happen. And, you know, went to court with this young man, and the judicial system in the Commonwealth gave this young man a free pass to go out and commit another crime. Because if he was that eager to point a weapon at me, you know, and another party, what is in the mind of these teenagers today when they do such a thing? And listen, guys, this kid doesn't know me from a can of spray paint, you know? And it's very sad that, you know, at this age, he would have to resort to that type of behavior. You know, it just stems from mental illness. And when they say some people don't need to reproduce, this is the outcome of these children that are being reproduced, you know, in a very tormented lifestyle, you know, and very sad to say that going before the judge in the Commonwealth, by the way, the judge was, you know, the judge wasn't there mentally. Okay. Cause I'm finding out some things about this judge, and this goes back to anyone that's been a part of the judicial system, where you can know, you know, what you're faced up against when these type of obstacles come in your way. You know, people think because they're in law enforcement, oh, that could never happen to me. You know, when you're faced with dealing with the judicial system that is not on your side to even help you as a regular civilian today, you know, it's a very sad system. But what's even sadder is these judicial officers that take that seat and they take that oath to make the right decision and do the right thing. You know, they constantly give these robbers, murderers, gun toters, baby killers, they give them a pass. You know, well, I can't say baby killers because, you know, Tiana Parks, she's still innocent, by the way, guys. So, you know, the judicial system is really not here to help you because you're still dealing with an individual who has had a tormented past. Like I'm finding out through other sources, because once the judge rendered the decision of dismissing the case, which I was notified that I can refile charges to reopen the case against that individual, which I must do because I don't want this, you know, piss pot 21, 22 year old to think that, hey, guess what? My fourth time getting my case beat. Yeah, I didn't get anything. I didn't get any charges. So I get a free pass again. You know, that's the last thing I would want being in my position to happen. You know, that this kid thinks he gets a free pass for waving a gun. Where, and also in this particular location, it was a four-year-old child sitting in the chair. So if this gun would have fired, this 21, 22-year-old mental ill boy would have fired a gun, maybe killing this four-year-old and not killing me, you know, or the other people that were in that particular location. You know, this is a very sad thing to experience. And then when you're dealing with the judicial system, you have to hear from other law enforcement that this particular judge is off of the rocker, very bad in decision making, and giving all of the young boys in Philadelphia with gun charges, murderers, robbers, giving them a free pass to go out and kill and rob again, all because of what? Because this judge that took the oath has done the right thing? No, this particular judge has had a very bad, tormented past as well. This judge has had brothers, okay? Wrongly accused, according to them, but I got a different type of information from someone that knew this tormented family, okay? And come to find out, because of the family members always going to jail and getting in trouble, because, you know, a judge has to become an attorney before they can become a judge. So this person took an oath to do the right thing, but because of their family members' past and being criticized and jailed and not having a voice and not getting that second chance because that's the criminal act that they did, this judge is setting criminals free. It doesn't stop there, guys. Oh yeah, ethics will be right behind this one, high-tailed on. Because first of all, I'm finding out now from the detective in the case that the young man had a gun permit. He had a permit to carry a gun, but the gun that he was caught with wasn't the gun that was registered to his name, mysteriously. So this judge, with all these facts and all this evidence in the case, the judge still gave this tormented young man with a wild, crazy past. Mind you, he's already beat four gun charges and no one has done anything. So, you know what? He's gotten a pass. He's gotten a pass to go out and be this villain that this judicial officer gave him a pass to do. I'm never fond of being a victim of circumstance, but I will hold someone liable if they commit and act a crime against me or my family members, you, especially my children. You will definitely be held accountable for your actions. And the crazy part about it is this young man doesn't even have a high school education. So that's another, you know, thing that the judge would look at, like, okay, what's your high school education? What's your education? You know, he has no education. So that's another thing. So you got this gun-toting dropout of elementary school, okay, running around the streets, blaming people for his life and why he's on a mission to kill nowadays, you know, and it's not his fault. He should have never been reproduced. You know, that's just the bottom line. Because when you have a parent that suffers from mental illness, this trait follows down the DNA genetics. You know, it could be drug use, it could be alcoholism, it could be a stem of things. But when you have these type of things going on within yourself, do you think it's right for you to reproduce somebody that could become the splitting image of you? You know, do the world a favor, people. You know, stop it. Stop right there. And I'm not for, you know, terminating lives as far as the abortion ban goes and that whole Roe versus Wade. But some people don't need to have children at all, under no circumstance. Because all you're doing is creating these little monsters that you have no control over because of your weary past that they have to relive every day of their life. So the judge probably had some type of sympathy for this fourth time beating gun charges in Philadelphia criminal. And I'm also glad that it's on record. So the next time that this situation happens, unless he does a drive-by with a mask, which he'll probably do next because that's his next segment of being uneducated, that's probably what will happen next. You know, but you gotta, situations like this, you gotta move forward and refile charges, because if you don't, you give these people passes to continue to harass and do things and bully. This is where bullying came from. It came from people like this. This generation of tormented past kids that should have never been calculated for. And I hate to say it that way. But, you know, here I am, a hardworking parent, to put my kid through school, and you got a judge giving a pass to someone with a tormented past, if you know what I'm saying. So that's what I wanted to tell you guys about that. You know, it was really heartbreaking to see a judge sit on that bench and make that harsh decision when that judge should have known better. But guess what? The good thing about it is court repercussions for your actions. And everything that you do and say in that courtroom is recorded. So that way, a higher judge can look at it and say, this judge did not follow ethical practice. And she didn't even look at the case to say, you know, wait a minute. He was a gun-toting guy that didn't even have this gun registered, and he's waving it around at people? No such thing. But every judge has to answer for their actions. So guys, if you're ever in that situation where you feel like justice has not been served, don't be afraid to reach out to the ethics committee to report that judge or that attorney who does not do you right. Don't be afraid to have a voice for yourself. And like I said, law enforcement is one thing, but when you're faced with the odds of going in front of that judicial system, when you have done something wrong, the odds are going to be against you, because the first thing they're going to say is, in your position, under the oath you took, you should have known better than to react in a certain manner. So kudos to that judge. Guys, I'd like to say thank you to everyone that's on the show today. I see there are thousands of people pouring in to log in on the show. Truly, truly love you guys for coming on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And I also wanted to share with you guys, you know, we talked about Wife 215 and Joe being Joe. And then we get this mother of six who's been murdered by her fiance. And it's a really sad thing that could have happened. They have a GoFundMe page set up for these kids. They're going to need ongoing, you know, especially the older ones. Mom's no longer here. Stepdad slash dad. He's the dad of the newborn, or another little one that, you know, these kids have to live with this trauma for the rest of their lives. Thank goodness it didn't happen. And I'm not saying it's a good thing she got killed where she got killed, but I could say thank goodness for the small things, like the kids didn't have to witness this act, because that would have been more tormented for these kids to sit back and absorb, you know, this type of behavior from a dad or a stepdad doing to their mother. You know, it would have been really a heinous act of crime. And, you know, it's another thing where people are plucking off informants. And this is not something that's a made up story. This is something that's factual. This is something that's happening right now in Philadelphia. Someone's talking. Someone's talking, guys. Someone is telling who is who and who is saying what. You know, and I gotta say, there's some people, and guys, I don't know these people, but people are reaching out to, and I'll tell you who actually, they're reaching out to Philly Police, they're reaching out to Fox 29 Philly, and they're reaching out to Unsolved Murders in Philly. And they're actually giving up substantial information on, I mean, well-detailed information on who's doing what, who killed who, who's in charge of who. You know, I mean, to me, this would be a little disturbing, you know, especially with it's a woman with three sons that are being accused of knocking people off, guys. You know, and I think we talked about this a week or two ago. I mean, it's just very sad that these young teenagers, and I'm going to go back to that, feel like the only way they can survive is taking hits. They're taking hits, guys. They're taking hits on people's lives for like $300-$500 just so they can survive out here in the streets today. And it's very sad. You can't even say anything to anybody because if you say the wrong thing, you look at them the wrong way, you may end up dead. You know, and it's not just Philadelphia, it's New Jersey, it's New York, it's Boston, it's Delaware. This is a worldwide pandemic of violence. You know, we're not going to just isolate it to certain areas. It's, I mean, you got the young kids assaulting the elderly. I mean, when have you ever heard of this? You know, you hear about the younger kids asking the elderly, you need any help? You need me to take your groceries in? The elderly can't even depend on the youth anymore because either it can be an elderly lady asking for a little help and then she's jeopardizing getting raped by a young teen, which this is a proven fact because it's already happened. Or an older gentleman saying to a younger young man, you know, if he can give him a hand in his backyard, maybe doing some landscaping or whatever he needs done. And then the old man is like beaten to death and robbed. What is happening to the youth today? You know, is it that serious where these kids are on these pain pills? Because I can tell you guys this much. I've been to many jails and I have seen and spoke to a lot of the youth. And basically, a lot of them, they wake up the next day after being arrested and they don't remember that they committed a crime. They don't remember that they shot a guy in the head four times. These kids are taking drugs to commit crimes. They're not even sober when they're doing this. These kids are high on, you think, marijuana. I beg to differ. I say opioids and other street drugs, as well as fentanyl and these Xanaxes that they're taking as leisure candy. You know, these kids are getting high to go out and commit these crimes because this is their way of survival. You know, people don't realize how many homeless children there are out there. There's a lot of homeless children. There's mothers that are homeless with their kids, and then they lose track of the kids somehow through the hustle and bustle of staying here to there. you know, and these kids become a product of their environment. They start hanging out in neighborhoods where they shouldn't be hanging out at. You know, there's a thing where people, you know, get your kids, get them off the street, get them in the house. I have an 18-year-old, guys, and guess what? When the sun goes down, she knows that her car is parked and she's in the house. There's no more going outside. There's no more, unless you have a designated place that you need to be. There is no hanging out on the street corner. You know, I live where we don't have street corners, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, in my area in New Jersey, I live in the suburbs. There, we don't have corner stores. We don't even have liquor stores, guys. I have to go to the next town over to like a, you know, a wine shop, a home liquors. We don't have, and when I tell you the home liquors is more like a boutique, you know, well-designed, well put together. You know, it's not like a liquor store that, you know, that's in these, you know, city areas. So it says a lot about the neighborhood and what's being allowed in the neighborhood. You know, why would you allow a corner store? What is your benefit? Because you're too lazy to go to the supermarket and you want to grab something really quick? You know, if people don't know where the corner store started from, this started from the Dominican Republic, okay? It started from what's called the bodega, okay? This is not your corner store. So they brought things to the neighborhood to make money off of them. So before it was called the bodega, it was called the variety store. The variety stores became the big box stores, Big Lots, Dollar Tree, Dollar General. You know, that's now your value store that you go to, your buy right. You know, but the corner store, it seems like it's a problem in the neighborhoods. So why wouldn't people start protesting to get the corner store out where these kids gather around, they do the illegal smoking of the cigarettes and the black and miles? Why don't people get in their neighborhoods and start making their presence known to these store owners? If you're going to be here, you got to participate in helping to eliminate the crime in my neighborhood. And if you're not going to do that, we're going to do everything in our power to shut you down. Because first of all, you don't belong here. It's called an ordinance, guys. There's no wandering and remaining. That is a law in every state, by the way. And in some states, you can't wear sneakers after 9 p.m. So if you're outside with sneakers, they automatically thought that you were going to commit a crime because you needed to have your sneakers on to be able to run. So people need to look at what the law says, the old law says, because that old law hasn't been revised. They just don't enforce it. Like if you put up a sign that says no trespassing, you can call the police and say, I got trespassers. Put some cameras up. I got trespassers. They don't belong here. If they can't show ID under the wandering and remaining law, if you can't show ID that you live at that particular premise where you're hanging out at, you will be arrested and you will be given a ticket or a fine to come to court, whichever the officer deems necessary. Or if that person becomes aggressive, they have the right to lock them up under the wandering and remaining law. So people have to be proactive in their neighborhoods in order to see some type of change. You can't depend on the mayor. You can't depend on the police force. You can't depend on your neighbor being your witness. You have to be proactive to say, I don't want my kid gunned down or stabbed up because I got the bodega here that's allowing these babies, these kids, to come in and out, hanging out. Meanwhile, they're protected behind a bulletproof window, and your kid is in this store hanging out with, you know, all these other kids, and bullets have no names. So who's to say the bullet will be for your kid? So people need to be proactive, start having a voice, speaking up, Stop saying it's the mayor, it's the governor, it's the juvenile justice system, it's the judges. Yeah, some fault of the judges. But what happens in your neighborhood? The judges are not there to govern the land, to say, don't do this, don't do that. But you have the right to stand up for yourself and make decisions on if that liquor store comes in your neighborhood, that pizzeria comes in your neighborhood, and what kind of surveillance do they have? When people are looking to open up businesses, they have to go before city council. They have to get the proper paperwork put in place. Don't just let anything move into your neighborhood. You know, at one time, there used to be such a thing called, we have to screen our residents. They had the, you know, the block patrol, you know, the tenant association or the owner's association on the block, neighborhoods. They had the signs posted. And guys, if you look it up, the law still exists. Neighborhood watch. That's the word I'm looking for. Anytime there was a new person that moved into your neighborhood, neighborhood watch knew who they were. Why? Because they had to fill out a form. Who are your household members going to be? If there was someone that owned that house that ended up renting that house, they had to get in touch with neighborhood watch and say, I am going to lease my house to John Doe, and John Doe has 5 children, and these are their names of their children. These are the schools the kids will be going to. It was control. That's the word, guys. You have to not police your neighborhoods. You have to control your neighborhoods. And the only way you're going to get that control, you have to go back to using the old laws that were put in place for your protection. When's the last time has anybody seen a neighborhood watch sign? I think they've taken them all down because no one wants to be in control anymore, because you have the old guy, you know, Mr. Sanders, let's call him that. You know, Mr. Sanders, hi. You know, I'm new to the block. I'm new to the neighborhood. I heard you're in control of the block patrol. I need to know what I need to do to give you my information, because that's a requirement when we leased this property that we had to talk with you. That doesn't happen anymore, guys. All the signs are taken down. No one cares anymore. Blind eye, deaf ear type of situation. The neighbor's son got gunned down. Guess what? I didn't hear it. I didn't see it. I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't even hear gunshots. All we did was open the door and saw him laying out in the middle of the street waiting for a Paw Patrol to come pick him up. And that should not happen, because it could be your family member that's laying on that sidewalk, all because you've lost control of your neighborhood. You know, they tell people all the time, take back your block. And a lot of people don't know what that means. They don't understand take back your block means get control of your street. Get someone that has to be in charge. Start making ordinances for your block under those ordinances that already exist. You won't have drug dealers selling out the empty houses. If you go in my neighborhood in the suburbs, what do we have on empty houses? We got pictures of fake windows, you know, fake doors. The neighbor next door keeps the lawn cut, because nobody wants that blighted site in their neighborhood dropping their property value. Okay? So you can ask yourself this: why is my house only worth $65,000? And on North 3rd Street and South Street, they're selling these houses. Mind you, my house is bigger. They're selling these houses for $1.2 million because they have control and you don't. And that's what sums it up. And guys, in our next half of this segment, we're going to talk about control and things that go on. This question's coming in. Guys, I love you for this. Let's take a quick commercial break and I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, welcome back. I see there's more people coming on. I love this. I guess someone must have spread the word and said, today's show means a lot, so get on. I got you guys. Guys, you know, I got a message that says, people need to vote for the vote that counts, not just the presidential election. And for those who don't know, you know, voting for people in your community, such as the school board, you know, don't vote because you like the person. Oh yeah, I like Miss, you know, Elderberry because her skirts are tight, you know, her leggings look great. Vote because they care about your children, and they care about your children to be a parent like you are, you know, and people can value that if you're a parent. But if you're, you know, the lazy parent, you don't know if your kid goes to school today. You don't even know what the report card says, by the way, much less understand how, you know, marking period 1, 2, 3, and 4 go. You know, it just goes to show a lot about being a parent. You know, you have to be involved. But there's a good website, and you guys might want to jot this down. It's nnw.org, and that stands for neighborhoodnationalwatch.org. Or is it back with neighborhood? No, I'm sorry, guys. National Neighborhood Watch. That's what NNW stands for. And it's a division of the National Sheriff's Association, Crime Prevention Throughout Neighborhoods. And if you guys actually get together, not just, well, I would say you guys, because I don't live in that area where we have the situations going on that you guys have going on, okay? And it used to be called racism. You know, you can't ask about a person's income. You can't ask about, you know, you can't ask about anything concerning anything racial. And everything is so sensitive today. Everything is racial, you know, to everybody. Everybody's so emotional about Black Lives Matter and, you know, I guess white lives don't, because I haven't seen anything about White Lives Matter. And I find that to be a little biased because all lives matter. I don't see anything about Latino lives matter, you know, and I am a Latino. You know, someone just asked that question the other day. Do you identify as Black or do you identify as Latino? I identify as Latino because that's what I am, okay? I don't want to perceive myself to be Black because I feel like when you're Black and you're African-American, my skin tone is pecan tan. But when you identify as an African-American, you should know what your ancestors been through as far as slavery, cotton fields. I don't have that type of history, okay? I know about the women becoming sex slaves on a ship, the Latino women, you know, and getting pregnant by Christopher Columbus is what we were taught, and Santa Maria. Like, we weren't taught the history. When you grow up in a Latino household, guys, and understand this, Your parents do not teach you Black history. And you can check with any Latino out here. You're not going to find one Latino that says, my mother told me or my father told me about Martin Luther King and the march and Harriet Tubman and how they got free. You're not going to get that out of any Latino. They're going to look at you cross-eyed and they're going to look at you like you're crazy because they're going to be trying to figure out who are these people that you're talking about. First of all, like I understand it was slavery, but who are these people? You know, and up until recently, until I saw the Harriet Tubman movie, I would have never known that so much went on. You know, I was even surprised that the original White House was in Philadelphia. These are things I was never even taught in school. You know, and I said that to someone else about the White House being in Philadelphia, and they were like, really? And they grew up in Philadelphia, and they didn't even know that. But they gave me a history of George Washington and George Washington with the prostitutes and the this and the that. They gave me that history, okay? But they never told me that the White House was at, you know, in Philadelphia at one time. And I would have never known this, guys. I mean, I was never taught that in school. You know, no one ever said the White House was here and this is what happened then, back in those days. Never got that type of educational level. So a message came in and said, vote for these laws and ordinances, which people need to really, first of all, you have to know what the laws and ordinances are so you can understand them. Because this conversation I'm having today, a lot of people don't even know that NNW even existed. And they didn't even know that I could be, you know, the guy in charge of my neighborhood, and I could step up to the plate and say, everything that goes on in my neighborhood, I'm responsible for reporting it. People don't even know they have that right. So do you see what happens when your rights are being violated? You don't even know what rights you have. You know, people are saying Second Amendment. Oh, I plead the Fifth. Everyone knows the Fifth Amendment, but they don't know the rest of the amendments. Like, read the amendments. Know your rights. Know what you stand for. Another message came across. Latino simply means indigenous. I hope I said that right, guys, because sometimes my pronunciation is a little off. So, you know what I mean. But I get it, guys. You know, we are another classification of, I can't say African-American because I've been scrutinized before for considering myself an African-American. You know, and I'll give you guys a little backstory to that. You know, I applied for tax credits back in 1999 for an apartment building that I owned to get tax credits to fix it up and renovate it, to have the rent stabilized for people who really couldn't afford high rents back in that time. And mind you, I was very young, early 20s, owning my first 17-unit apartment building. So, you know, very proud of my accomplishments with that, by the way, guys. It was a story I gave you guys about the young man selling drugs in my building, and now the boxing coach, the Hall of Famer, Dewdrop Boxing Gym. Yeah, that young kid, you know, that was that building. But I applied for tax credits to get that on the road and to do something good for people in the community. And, you know, I think back to those days of really putting my best foot forward to step out there and help a lot of people that couldn't afford to live in certain places. And also, guys, I met a lot of friends along the way. You know, one of my longtime friends came on the show to talk about my building one day. You know, so I've met a lot of good people throughout that run. But just to tell you, you know, it's a shame that people don't make the initiative to help clean up their neighborhoods. You live there, you pay rent to live there, your kids live there, your kids have to open that door every day. Sometimes, you know, come home alone. You know, no one's at home because the parents have to work. There's no neighborhood watchman to say, we're keeping an eye on things. And then when the police have to come to that neighborhood and see certain things go on, they don't have to question the whole entire block, because Neighborhood Watch has everything under control. It's like having a security guard on your street 24/7, because Neighborhood Watch would pay for funding for cameras. So guess what? There's no detectives knocking on the door. Did you see anything? Did you see anything? And then getting the response of, you know, I'm still eating my cotton candy, sitting on my couch with my bonbons. I didn't see anything. You know, they will not have that response. They would have more of a response of, here's the footage. We got this from this end of the corner. We got this from that end of the corner. Here's all the footage you got. You know, everything is being recorded. So you got an extra set of eyes on the block. So, you know, guys, people have to know what the ordinances are and what the laws are. And you have to know what your amendments are. What's your legal right? Because if you only know the Fifth and the Second Amendment, you're lost. You're still daydreaming. So you need to like get it together mentally so you can prepare this cycle of youth that will be wiping your butt in a nursing home one day, you know, so you don't get stranded with just a diaper on all day, you know. So you have to prepare the youth for the next generation of adulthood. And another thing I want to tell you guys, why in my neighborhood, I don't experience that. Because I tell you what, you know, when it's quiet in the house, nothing's on, you know, I hear noises, right? And the noises I hear is childhood laughter. These kids are creating childhood memories, not of gunshots and they got a duck, not of that, not of cars racing up and down the street, not of these ATVs with no licenses, you know, on the run, you know, look out Dodge hitting in cars and going crazy, not drug dealers standing on my corner, which we don't have corners, by the way, guys. We have curbs. But we don't have that in my neighborhood. And it feels so good to me. I feel good hearing the kids outside play in their yards. You know, they're having a good time. They're not afraid to come out on the porch because they might get gunned down. We don't have that type of element here. And they don't use, you know, the racist card that people always pull. I'm black and, you know, they're racist against me. I'm Latino and I get racism a lot against me. But my skin is made of steel, so I know how to handle those situations. But it's no longer called racism, guys. So don't beat yourself up with, I'm of a certain nationality and I just can't get in to live in those areas with curbs, okay? I have to live where there's corners. It's not racism. They've elevated it to, you just can't afford to live here. And that's what they're doing all around the world today, to eliminate this element of people, the people of, you know, you can't afford to live here. Because Section 8 will soon be, hold it, guys. I'm going to take it way back, okay? There's an area in New Jersey, and you can look it up if you like. It's called Lakewood, L-A-K-E-W-O-O-D, Lakewood, New Jersey. Lakewood is not a racist neighborhood, okay? You just can't afford to live in certain areas. So in Lakewood, there's a housing project that caters only to the African-American community. If there's a crime that gets committed, do you know where they go first? They go to that housing project in Lakewood, New Jersey. They go right there. Okay, if there was a burglary, we know who did it. If there's a rape, we know who did it. Because in those areas in Lakewood, it's a highly valued Hasidic neighborhood of Jewish people, okay? They have the synagogue, They have the Jewish schools. No, the African American kids don't go to those schools. No, no, no. That's not what happens there. Your kid goes to a certain school in Lakewood, but you cannot go. See, there's a line that separates in Lakewood. So you're not permitted to go across that line, because if you go across that line, someone's calling law enforcement and they're going to want to know, what are you doing here? And they're going to enforce, what is it, guys? Wandering and remaining. They're going to enforce that law because, God forbid, you have sneakers on. They're going to think you're ready to do a B&E. And for those who don't know, it's breaking and enter. So they're going to hold you liable for being on the wrong side of Lakewood, New Jersey, that you do not belong in. So people, I can't tell you more than you can probably tell yourself. And I got a lot of reviews on this show already. Got tons of messages coming in. I've hit some high points. I've hit high notes. Let me get this other message out. I've touched some buttons. I like it when I touch buttons. I like awareness because, guys, I've been in my career for 18 years. And I can tell you this, I've seen a lot and I know a lot. And a lot of the things that go on and happen in this world today, people are not paying attention to what their legal rights are. You know, not the next mother getting on the news saying my son was gunned down and you got an unsolved murder. Because guess what? There's 15 more murders after your son. So miss, take a ticket and we'll get back to you when we can. Okay. And by the way, guys, my case was dismissed with that gun-toting mental illness kid I was telling you about because the detective was so busy, he couldn't go out to get the footage from the bank that sits on the corner that would have shown this young man parading around back and forth with his vehicle. Okay. They were too lazy. They were eating their donuts, drinking their coffee. I get it. To go out and get this footage. Or there was 10 other murders after my little gun-toting buddy pulled out his gun on me and others. So, you know, I can't justify laziness. A lot of people like myself, and I say this, you get to the end of your career, because I'm almost at the end of my career, retirement. I'm looking forward. I'm so looking forward to my pension. Okay? That I don't want to get in any conflict with anyone. I want to just enjoy my pension, go on the beach, live my life while this knucklehead, as mayor, you know, mayor of Philadelphia calls them knuckleheads, this knucklehead is still running around here trying to figure his life out while he's wasted all his years gun-toting, if he makes it that far, because at some point in time, all of the shenanigans catch up to you at some point in time. But parents, I say to you, don't wait for your kid to be next on the DOA list or something bad happens to your kid or your family member for you to say NNW is something I should have participated in. And guess what? You can have a voice for NNW, National Neighborhood Watch. You have that legal right to have that voice to say, I want to step up to the plate because I want to know what goes on in my neighborhood. By the way, guys, it's a guy every morning, and I think this guy should be voted in. I think it should be votes for Neighborhood Watch. He should be voted in because he gets up and he sweeps the whole entire block every single day. Kudos to this guy. I mean, I don't know how he does it, but he cleans up for his other neighbors, has a lot of elderly people that are homeowners. Kudos to him. You know, cleanup guy, you know who you are. I just don't want to shout out names. But matter of fact, I will. His name is Keith. I can do that because Keith knows me. Anyway, guys, it's like 14.5 million people listening in on this line today. We have had a lot to say today on It's Confirmed. This is Tommy Torres. Join us next week. Let's talk more about King Hill. Get that panel together. Guys, thank you for joining in. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Tommy Torres signing off. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.